It's the first time I've done something like this. This is kind of different, but I know we don't do this often. Probably won't do it again. But I thought it would be interesting, though. You know, Kirk kind of put me and Nathan, you know, in charge of connections and hospitality, kind of making sure, you know, we start communizing with one another, I guess. And so, you know, we kind of split it up this way. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit more about hospitality, specifically remembering the poor. So I know there's a lot of information being brought to you today. So if you can only, like, remember, like, two things, you know, remember, you know, what Nathan said, but from mine, if you can remember one thing, remember the poor, okay? That's going to be what I'm going to be coming back to this entire time. It'll make sense as I go. But that's the main thing I want you to come away with. Before I get started, though, I was just thinking about, you know, Nathan used a lot of scripture, and I'm going to be using a lot of scripture, too, and it's on purpose. And I just wanted to say one thing about why scripture is so important is I think of scripture like the bumpers when you're bowling, where, like, you know, you're bowling and you keep throwing it in the gutter and you're just like, oh, I can't do this. So you have to do the walk of shame up to the desk and you tell the guy, I can't do this. You got to come put the bumpers up for me. And then you're just boom and you're throwing strikes every time because those bumpers keep you in line, right? The scripture is like our bumpers. If I came up here without scripture, I'd be throwing gutter balls the entire time, right? So that's why we bathe everything in scripture. And, you know, that's, I think our whole lives should be that way. The scriptures keep us in line. So I'll get started. So it's called Remember the Poor, and it's based on this scripture. Everything's going to be kind of based on this. And it's in Galatians 2. And it says, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised, or the Jews, worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas, or James and Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we, and this is Paul talking, by the way, to Barnabas and Paul, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. And the last thing here, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. So we see them here, you know, they're kind of splitting up the load. They're saying, okay, we'll stick here with the Jews. You guys go to the Gentiles. How many people in the world are Gentiles? Almost all of them, right? So that's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big part of the ministry. And so they're going to the Gentiles, and what's the main thing they asked Paul to remember to do on the journey? Remember the poor. It's very important. It's one last thing. Remember the poor. It's the most important thing we're going to tell you. And so I started looking at other scriptures. You know, when I saw that, it kind of stuck out to me. I was like, oh, there's something very important here. Because it's real easy, like, I don't know, when you're reading the scripture, it's real easy just to kind of go over certain things. It doesn't even stick out. That verse, I don't know if it ever really stuck out to me before, but this time it did. Jesus talked a lot about the poor. So much of his ministry was to go to the poor. In Luke 14, we read a little bit about that. He said also to the man who had invited him, so he's at the house of a Pharisee, just so you know. And he said to the man who invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So that first part, he says, you know, do not invite your brother, do not invite, you know, rich people, do not invite that, because they'll just pay you back. So is it wrong to invite friends or any of those people? No, not inherently. No, it's not bad. But I think really what Jesus is trying to say is, you know, to remember the poor. Think about the less fortunate. Don't forget them when you're doing these things. They're also, you know, the poor are the very group. Then he says, in the next verse, he says, lest they invite you in return and you be repaid. So, you know, I kind of think of it like Christmas gifts. You ever notice, like, at Christmas, it's kind of like you give someone a gift and they give you, like, a gift in return? It's like, it's not really a gift giving, it's more like gift trading. That's kind of what Jesus is talking about. It's like, you guys are just trading. You're not really being generous, you know. You scratch his back, he scratches yours. That's kind of the thing you have going on when you're just, it's just you and your friends. But I'm calling you to something different. I'm calling you to call the you know, people who can't pay you back, people who can't do anything in return. And then he says, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, for you will be blessed because they cannot repay. You know, this is the heart of God, to love people who cannot repay. You know, Kirk's been talking about that he talked about it with the lame cripple man who, you know, he had no way of getting up. He had no way of healing himself. He had no way. And that's us. That's us. We have no way of salvation. We have no way to change our state. Before Christ, we too were poor, blind, and crippled. So when I'm talking about remember the poor, you know, obviously I am talking about the literal poor people. But I'm also talking about the spiritually poor. And so I want you to kind of keep that in mind as we talk about all these verses about the poor. Because it's not just people without money that are poor. We're talking about poor spiritually as well. Christ opened our eyes to see. He gave us wealth. Maybe not physical wealth. Maybe you're still broke. But he gave us wealth beyond what we could have ever imagined in Christ. And we have not, and we can never pay back Christ for what he's done for us. You know, what could we give Christ in payment for the debts that he's wiped away? Nothing. Nothing at all. So likewise, we need to show the love of Christ by selflessly loving, just as Christ did. Jesus said something similar earlier in Luke in 6 verse 32. It says, if you love those who love you. So this is not really talking about the poor. This is talking about really your enemies. But it's a very similar concept. It said, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that for you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And then this, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. That's the most important part. The way we treat the poor, or even our enemies, is with the mercy. The same mercy that Christ showed. In Romans, we know that verse where it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? You know, while we were still sinning in our trespasses, before we showed any love for Christ, before we loved him, he loved us, right? And so that's the concept here, is there are a lot of people who may feel like they don't deserve our love, but we're following the model that Christ set for us. He loved us first. So we also need to love people before they love us back. So how do we remember the poor? I have a couple scriptures about remembering the poor and what that means. James 2, verse 14 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, oh, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, right? So we see it's impossible to love somebody without also giving. And it's not always physical needs, but a lot of times it is. Love is not an action, or love is an action, it's not a thought. I always think it's funny when people don't pray and something bad happens. They're like, we're thinking about you. We're sending you our thoughts. And I was like, yeah, just keep your thoughts. I don't really care. I don't want to know what's going on up there. You keep your thoughts. I'll take the prayers, though. Right? Thoughts mean nothing to me. action is much more important. Remembering the poor is more than just remembering that they exist. You know? If someone, let's say I just get carried away in life, I'm just like really busy, and someone's like, hey, Andrew, remember your wife and children. Like, yeah, I remember them. You didn't have to remind me about them. I knew they exist. It's like, no, that's not the point. You're neglecting them. Don't neglect them. So that's what it is. It's don't neglect the poor. Remember the poor is don't neglect them. There's also another story in Acts. I think this is the one that Kirk was talking about the other week. Acts chapter 3. And so you remember the story. There's a man, crippled and lame, and he every day he sat at this place called the Beautiful Gate. It was on the way to the temple. And one day, Peter and John are on their way, just kind of going business as usual. They're going to pray like they do every single day, and they pass this guy. And the guy's like, I don't know, holding out his cup or whatever, like, hey, do you have anything for me? And Peter and John, so it picks up in verse 4 of Acts 3, verse 4, and it says, and Peter directed his gaze at this guy, as did John, and he said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, silver and gold, they didn't have any money. They didn't have anything to give him. You know, even if you don't have material wealth, the wealth you have in Christ is so valuable to people. We need to be spreading that. You know, George was talking about, I don't know where George is. He was talking about, you know, spreading the gospel. You know, that is the wealth we have in Christ that everybody needs. Now, if someone's hungry and we just give them the gospel, that's maybe not, that's not the full thing. But we need to be giving people the things they need, which is the gospel, the truth of God. You know, Peter and John had nothing to give, but they gave all they had. And then one last verse, and I'll be done, is in Matthew 25:35. And Nathan already said this verse, but it's worth repeating. So Jesus, this is a story, you know, Jesus, if you read the whole context of it, it's Jesus talking about the final judgment. I didn't include the entire thing. You're welcome, you know. Read it later by yourself. I just cut it short, so I started in the middle of it, so the context is a bit missing. But Jesus is basically talking about the final judgment. And he says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. This is what Jesus will be telling us, right? I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them. This is Jesus. He says, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. There are many reasons to remember the poor. But if for no other reason than this one right here, it's because Christ did it. That's the reason. When we're serving others, we're serving Christ. That's why. When we remember the poor, we're not only serving God's creation, but we're serving Christ himself. And it's also an acknowledgement that we too were poor. We too were in that same. We were blind, right? Like that song, I once was blind, but now I see, right? We understand that we were also that in debt. Right? Like that parable of the guy who owed, you know, however many, it was like billions of dollars. He could never repay it, but he was forgiven that debt. That's the debt we were forgiven, an insurmountable debt we could never repay. We were the poor. We were the blind, the crippled. We weren't able to get up. And just like the man at the beautiful gate, yeah, we were crippled and helpless, broke his yoke, but Christ came to, he was loving the world, not because we loved him, but because we didn't. Or because we didn't love him, but he lived and died for the world that he loved. So we need to do the same to those around us. You know, one thing I was kind of thinking, I just thought about this morning, was like, a lot of times, you know, before people come to Christ, before they know Christ, they're surrounded, basically everybody they know is an unbeliever, right? Nobody believes in Jesus, all their friends, that's where a lot of people come from. And so when they get saved, they have all their friends, everybody they know is unsaved. It's kind of like ripe for the picking in a sense. All kinds of people to share the gospel with. But what tends to happen is when people are saved for 5, 10, 20 years, all of a sudden you kind of look back. And I know this is my story too. Me and Christy, when we were first together, we had tons of unbelieving friends. And over time, they just kind of fizzled out. And now we're 10 years later, we're looking back like, oh, we're not friends with any of them anymore. It's kind of fizzled out. Not a big deal. It's just that's how it happened. And now we notice like most of our friends are here in church. Most of our friends are believers. I think part of the problem is we don't have poor friends. I'm saying spiritually poor. We forget what it's like to have the unbelieving friends because we're very happy with the friends we do have. We like the friends that agree with us. We like the friends that think the same as we do, that do things the same way as we do. And so that's what we surround ourselves with. So let's not forget those. You know, when I say poor, I'm talking about spiritually poor. Yeah, physically, you know, materially poor too, but spiritually poor. People who have no understanding in this world of Christ and what he needs. You know, Jesus talked about the physician. He said those who are well, right? He was saying those who are well, who are not sick, those who are well don't need a physician. But those who are sick need the doctor, right? And so if we surround ourselves with just healthy people all the time, they all have Christ, they all have their perfect health. Well, what are we doing? We have the healing power of Jesus for every single need in this world. We have the healing power. For 8 billion people in this world, we have healing power for them. Why are we staying with the people who don't need it? Now, I'm not contradicting anything Nathan said. We need connections in the body, all right? I'm not contradicting it. I'm just focusing on another area that I think can get neglected. You know, as we build the connections inside of the body, inside the church, which we need to be doing, we also need to be doing the evangelistic thing, going outside where the poor, the crippled, the lame, both physically and spiritually, that we would be going to them as well and not neglecting them, that we'd be doing exactly what Paul said to do. What he said he did, I guess, right? Which is remember the poor, the very thing he was eager to do. So I leave that with you. The one thing that I want you to remember leaving here is remember the poor.